Joseph Nye, a political science professor at Harvard University, first coined the term soft power. In his 1990 book, The Paradox of American Power, Nye wrote that no nation has ever had so much cultural, economic, and military power as the United States. And yet, he observes, no nation has ever been so interdependent with the rest of the world. Nye argues that maintaining soft power, that is, non-military power, is fundamental to global leadership. It includes the use of diplomacy, economic development, and education to bring about a desired change in values and ideas. Nye's view is not unusual in academia, but its practice in real-world politics has been slow to gain favor. That is, until recently, when the concept found a new champion in U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates. German journalist Matthias Rube, Washington bureau chief of the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, says the change in thinking by the current administration is noteworthy.
I think it's quite remarkable that the Secretary of Defense is asking for more money for the State Department. And I think that people in Europe realize that the second Bush administration, especially with Defense Secretary Gates, has really changed. And I think even though the image of the United States is tarnished because of the Iraq war, it's not destroyed. So it's not beyond repair. And for a new president, there are actually quite a few things he could do to restore American soft power.
Furthermore, Mr. Rube says the importance of the United States employing soft power, especially in Central and Eastern Europe, should not be underestimated.
All those emerging democracies in Eastern and Central Europe rely very much not only on the hard power, but also on the soft power of the United States. The European Union soft power is, without the American backing, not really existing for those countries who still live very close to a neighbor that's becoming more and more assertive, or you can even say aggressive.
Pakistani journalist Ayaz Gul in Islamabad says he thinks the United States needs to cultivate its soft power, even in the so-called war on terrorism.
The U.S. Defense Secretary is quite right in his approach, because Pakistan is a very complicated situation as far as the war against terrorism is considered, because the problem that is in Pakistan is causing insecurity in Afghanistan, because the two countries have a long border, and it's the border areas of Pakistan which are considered safe haven for Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Pakistan literally started using force after 9/11 in the tribal areas to overcome these militants in those regions. And 7 years on, what we see is that the use of brute force has created more enemies in those regions, not only for the Pakistani government, but for the world in general.
Mr. Gul says Pakistan's new civilian government faces an enormous challenge, one that begs for a different approach.
Pakistan's new government is advocating, they're really trying hard to convince the international community that if this problem is to be resolved, stability and peace has to be established in these tribal regions and in Afghanistan. Peace negotiations has to be given a chance to really engage those fighters and isolate those fighters from the regular tribesmen in those areas, and give them more incentives like development, education, health, and jobs.
However, in the Arab world, according to Lebanese-American journalist Claude Salhami, wielding soft power is a fairly new concept.
I think Iraq will probably be a novelty in that sense, where they were used to 30 years of dictatorial power from Saddam Hussein, followed by the U.S. military occupation, ruling by decrees and so on. So I think they're testing the waters now to see how it will work. Whether it will work remains another question.
But Mr. Salhami says it appears that we may be witnessing the beginning of the end of the massive deployment of U.S. troops in Iraq. However, there is a caveat, he warns.
I think you cannot press for soft power unless you have the hard power to back up the demands. You know, the old saying, walk softly but carry a big stick. I think this applies in this case, because they will not respect your soft power unless you have the option and the capability of coming back and forcing it upon them, so to speak. So in that respect, I think it's important that the two go together.
In the Arab world in particular, Mr. Salhami says, the United States needs to do a better job of winning the hearts and minds of people.
There's a lot of work to be done in that respect. They like the people of the United States, they don't like the government. And I found it particularly interesting when I was in Iran or in Gaza, outwardly they're calling for death to America, but then they come up to you and they say, how can I get a green card and how can I go live in the United States and how can I go to college in the U.S.?
The journalists agree that while the United States must retain its hard power, it must also cultivate its soft power. And knowing when to use them requires a judicious balance. For International Press Club, I'm Judith.